I'm being really vulnerable here, so, but it leads into chaplaincy, and I think that some of you know that I'm a chaplain at Glen Forest and a chaplain at Darlington, and I'm going to share some stories with you today. So I've called this message, Today's a Gift, and I'm going to unpack that. It's a really important statement in my life. It means that today is a gift. It's a day that I didn't think that I would have. And I just want to embrace every day. So I'm just going to share with you a DVD that I did at my previous church about my journey. And I think it was filmed, I was trying to work out when it was filmed. I think it was 2009. So, yeah, I'll just sit back and watch. Thank you.
My name is Tracy, and I've been attending Riverview Church for the last 6 years. In December 2004, I was involved in a car accident. After the car accident, I was advised not to go to work, and work for me was my whole life. It was my value and my purpose. The accident triggered some issues for me, and eventually it led to me having an eating disorder, which was anorexia. During that time, I was losing lots of weight and having panic attacks. This was a very dark time in my life. For the next couple of years, I went for counselling and sought treatment for my eating disorder in various places while still trying to maintain a low weight. I felt that I was just going through the motions of trying to get help to overcome the condition and also trying to maintain work. I was not getting the right treatment that I needed for my illness. In July 2007, I received a big wake-up call. I became sick, and I actually pressed on a nerve in my arms, which led to me losing the sensations in my hand. This really scared me, as it meant that my body was now starting to break down. It was at that moment that I decided I needed to get serious about my treatment. I found a new doctor who recommended a new path of recovery. In September 2007, I was readmitted to hospital, and I ended up being in hospital for about 6 months. During that time, I attended creative art classes, which involved art therapy. This led to me finding my new identity in God. My doctor began to see an improvement in my well-being. Looking back now, I'm able to see God throughout my whole recovery process. He was in my art and the people that stood alongside with me. He was in those lonely times when I thought things couldn't get any worse, and He accepted me for who I was and who I am, and He gave me an amazing support network. He always gave me a scripture to remind me of where He was in my life. And one of the scriptures that I held on to was Proverbs 3, 5 to 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your path straight. Today my recovery is still ongoing, and it is a difficult road to walk on. But I know that I'm not doing it on my own, and I'm so grateful to be in this church family. I now have a purpose statement that I hold on to every day, and it says, my purpose is to inspire, encourage, and bring hope for women and young girls, especially those struggling with an eating disorder. I am prepared to go where I'm needed, to speak, to sing, and to share my journey. I want to help women and young girls break free from this illness, and to help them discover their value, their worth, their dreams, and their desires, and to give them the tools to fight back until they are free and living their lives.
Okay, that beautiful song that was at the beginning was actually sung by the chaplain who is for West Coast Eagles, Paul Morrison, so just fitted in really nicely. And I watched that DVD yesterday and I just thought, I don't really recognise that girl who I was. And don't you just love how God can turn your mess into a message? And I knew that when I was going through this, that He wanted, you know, I didn't get healed miraculously. It was a day by day, holding on to God, holding on to His word, trusting, just putting my hand in His hand and trusting Him and allowing Him and just following His path for me. And I really, when I talk about this, I really want to talk about recovery, because recovery is possible. And the hope that He has. And I think having that car accident was a really, in a way, it sounds weird, but I'm going to say, in a way it was a good thing, because it interrupted my life. I don't think I would be standing here sharing, at least sharing what God has done in my life, through my life, and what He has done. Like, it's just been amazing. Not to have the car accident, but to have God interrupt your life. So I first went into hospital, and I was saying to my friend, this is hell. My mind was at the moment that, you know, it's great. I'll just be in hospital for a week. I'll knock this thing over. It's great. I don't have that much stuff at work. It's just a great time. I ended up being in hospital for 8 weeks, and my friend said to me afterwards, what kind of place is this where you can be fixed in a week? So that was my thinking at the time. I had a beautiful doctor, and God just placed these most amazing people in my path and in my way. And when you're crying out to the Lord, and when you're looking back now, I can see that he's just gone every step. There was someone there. My doctor, the GP at the time, was just talking to her, and she was a Christian, so she would pray with me. Like, whose daughter would pray with them? I was just like, that is so blessed. And when I was in hospital, this plaque, which is just, or this frame, was just always there. It's Jeremiah 29:11, and I would look at it and go, for I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, plans for good and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. And so I really held on to that. I really held on to that. God had a future for me and a hope. And I believe that. So like I said, in 2007, my body crashed and I just couldn't go on anymore. And it got to the point that I was either to choose life or death. That was how deep and dark my area was. But I was still a Christian. I really struggled with why. You know, why was this happening? And so I was admitted back into hospital, and I had a doctor there, and it just wasn't working out. So I was discharged, and I went to my GP, the Christian one, and I said to her, I actually need to find someone new, different. So she had a list of these two doctors, and she said, okay, whatever one rings back, that's who we just have to go with. And I knew one of them, and I knew of his good work with others. So I remember clearly this day that I went over to the shop while she was waiting, and I prayed. I just prayed this, God, please give me that doctor. I just really need that doctor. If I'm going to make it, I need him. So I went back, and I'm sitting in the waiting room and waiting, and then I get into the office, into her office, and it's the doctor that I wanted. And that was a miracle, because not only did I get an appointment with him, I got an appointment the next day at 9 o'clock. Now, his books were actually closed. He had a 3-month waiting list. My friend said, how did that happen? I was like, I just prayed. You know, so he, when I met him, it was just different. He saw me as a person. He didn't see me as an illness. He didn't see me as a number. He didn't see me as a tick the box. You know, this is what we've got to do. This is what we've got to do. He said to me, I may not get it always right, but I'm going to do the best for you. So I really had to trust him that he was the doctor and I wasn't, because sometimes, you know, you think you know better than the doctor. And that was such... For me, that was such a point of God hearing my prayer. So went back into my journey, and I'm not going to say it was easy. It was hard work, and I had to put the work in. You know, I cried quite a lot. I worried. I read. I had my Bible there with me, and I'd go to God. God, it says in your word that you did this for this woman. You did this, that you will do it for me. So I really had to press in and know what God had for me. And, you know, and just being in that environment of really switching my thinking around. And my doctor was saying, well, stop worrying. And I'd go, well, what do I think about then? So I had to end up going and getting, you know, Joyce Meyer has a little purple book called Speaking God's Word. So, and how it says, think of things that are lovely. And so I had to, every time a thought would come into my head that you're not going to get better, I would challenge it. And I would have sticky notes up everywhere in my room. And, and then just the doctor started seeing improvements. He started seeing, like, in my artwork and in just, like, he would see colour instead of black and white. And he was really good because one of the prescriptions that he gave me was to buy new shoes. Yeah, how good is that? He goes, because we were talking, and when you have an illness like that and you're struggling, you really don't want to buy nice things for yourself. And he said to me, I want you to buy those shoes. So I went to some of the girls that were in there, and I go, well, my doctor's just told me, do you know what my prescription is? To go and buy some new shoes. And they were like, wow, we want that doctor. But that was a challenge for me. And then I had to go to him and say, I think I'm buying too many. No, not really. And so he just challenged me, and the next thing was to go and buy some perfume, which I never bought. So, I bought these things for me. So coming out of hospital, this is what he said to me. He goes, when you come out of hospital, that's when the hard work starts. And I was like, what? What have I just been doing in hospital? So I came out just 4 days before Christmas, and he was just amazing. He had set up an appointment. I had friends around me, church, Christian friends, mentors, people that I could just ring, set things up. But coming out of a hospital, I'm just like, I don't want to go back. I just so don't want to go back, God, and I need to hold on to you. And we can't go back, because going back was not an option. And so I had lots of questions, like, how was I going to cope? What was I going to do? What was my day going to look like? Because I was a list girl. You know, I had a list that was just ridiculous, because there was no way I could do that in a whole day, maybe for a whole year. But I had to list, and I had to do the check, you know. So it was doing completely the opposite. So how my day looked then was different. So I sort of got into dance, which I really love now. And I think sometimes when you come out of hospital, people think, oh, that you're okay, that you're better, but you're not. I mean, I still had quite a lot to do. And my verse that I really leaned into was Proverbs 3:5-6, and I've said, may I trust in you. And I had to go, in you, God, with all my heart, and lean not onto my own understandings. I pray that I will acknowledge you in all my ways, and that you will direct my path. So my life now is looking completely different to how it was when I was so fixated on my work and not realizing giving the control to God. That's quite when you say to God, you are in control, and I will listen and I will follow you. So scripture was up in my house. I really pressed into it. I really got involved in serving. And another thing what happened was, I was still at work, and I was still going through, I worked in childcare for a long time, and I was still like going through the motions, and I'm just like, this is just not what I think God wants me to do. So I ended up resigning. I had no idea what I was going to do, which was scary. But I was like, I had 3 months of long service, 2 months of holiday. So I had 6 months where I could just do whatever. So I began exploring life and doing a lot of things. I went to a conference over in Sydney, and then I climbed the Sydney Harbour Bridge. Yeah, for me, that was pretty awesome because I'm scared of heights. So, you know, but I was strapped on, you know, and I did look down, and then I just went, you know, that link is like you trusting God. Like, he's got me. Except I did get stuck once, and this man pushed. Like, otherwise I would have still been on the bridge. But doing that was just another look what I can do. Look what my life looks like now. And I always, like, think of recovery as it's like letting go and letting God, and it's like stepping off a cliff. And I was telling this at a youth at a youth service once, and I said, it's not a real cliff, it's a metaphor, okay? Just to be sure. And I said, it's just like you step in, but you think, who's going to catch me? And God is there, and it's a step. There's a step there, and then there's another, and another. And some days you'll go back. You know, I mentor girls now. I feel like, you know, that's what I'm meant to do. You know, they are so valued and worthy and loved, and God has that for them. I have started doing Princess Heart Journey, which is just designing a journal about that people can write in, because journaling for me really helped me going through what I did, and I can look back and see how far I've come. And so Princess Heart Journey is just a little thing that I do, and the catchphrase is worthy, valued and loved, because that's what God thinks of us. We are worthy, we are valued and we are loved. And creativity was part of my journey as well. So singing, which I love, and I love worshipping God. And, you know, another favourite scripture of mine was, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, which is the Philippians 4:3. And remember that when I speak about chaplaincy, because that I needed. So I know that today is a gift. Every day is a gift, just waking up and just thinking what is going to happen. You know, I don't have a list of what I want to do for that day. I mean, I have a list of things that God has placed in my heart, and one of those was the Princess Heart Journey. And it's knowing that God loves me unconditionally. And at first I was like, what's this unconditionally? I don't get it. I don't understand it. And I'd ask him, I'd go, what does it feel like? I talk to him quite a lot. I ask him quite a lot of questions. You know, and you know, it took a while to go, you know what, I can just be me, and he loves me as I am. Whether I do these things, I make mistakes, I'm still learning, I'm a work in progress. I love that. Work in progress by God. So being loved unconditionally, it's just something that I just value with the girls that I've mentored or people that I've spoke to, how, you know, that you have to look after yourself, and it's really hard, but I like to journey with them. Okay, so that leads me into chaplaincy. So I was on break, and I'd climbed the Sydney Harbour Bridge, I'd gone to Bali, I'd gone on a mission impact trip. So I went to about 6-7 orphanages, ate the food there, you know, saw the kitchen with the dogs in it. Anyway, it was all character building. You know, it was a character building, and I loved it. And I loved just thinking, I would never have thought that I would be in Bali in an orphanage teaching them Zumba at one stage a few years ago. And that it was, you know, that it was fun. So I'd been talking to friends because it was great to catch up for coffee, because I love coffee. And one of my friends said one day, you know, you'd make a good chaplain. And I was like, yeah, okay. Because I'd been applying for jobs and really wasn't getting anything. And I thought, well, you know, God, I'm just going to hand it over to you because you know. And then the next day I was having coffee with a friend and she said to me, have you ever thought of being a chaplain? And I was like, okay, that's said twice. And I've heard in the Bible, if God says something twice to you, that you should obey it. So I applied for youth care and went into the process of the chaplaincy. So applying, then having, what's that thing called that we have to go to? The social, the lady that... Yes. So going... Yeah. Going to... 2 hours. Yes, 2 hours. My head hurt. But it was good. It was... It was all about, you know, what would you do in this situation? What would you do in this situation? And I think from where I come from, I had great empathy for people now. Like, and so that was good. And I got past that. Then I got the interview and then they said, oh, will you, this was 2011, probably August, September. You probably won't get a job this year. And we won't give you a 2-2 school, which means you won't have 2-2 school. Anyway, so I went and I left and I didn't really think much. And I just thought, oh, that's good. I'm in the pool, like the pool. And I got a call a few weeks later saying, would you like to come for an interview in Darlington? And I was like, okay, yep, that sounds great. No idea where Darlington was. No idea Glen Forest. I had no idea. So... I have no sense of direction. Naomi can testify to that. I'm very bad. So having that, and then I walked into the room, and there was probably about, I don't know, six people. There was a lot of people in that, I think. And I went through the interview, and then I sat outside, and then I went and had a coffee, and then I came back in, and they said, you've got the job. And I was like, okay. Yay! And then I left and I'm like, okay, I don't even know what I'm going to be doing. But I knew it was something with children and looking after children. So I went and we do have training and I have done a lot of training and, you know, I've had 14 years in childcare, long daycare and all that. So I thought, yeah. But my whole biggest joy was the first day I got down when I... got to sit with one child, just one-on-one, not having to look around and make sure that children weren't doing this and doing that, but just to sit down. And I was going, God, this is so good. This is so good. So what have I learnt as a youth care chaplain? I've learnt heaps. I've learnt to be flexible. I've learnt that I just need to change my routine. I might have my day set up, but then God... has another, someone will come, say someone, you need to come and speak to someone. So I've learnt just to go with it. So even when I've been asked to come up and speak and I've had no idea I've had to speak, I just go with it. And I love it. Like, I never thought I would be that sort of person that that I can just step up and put my hand up. You know, sometimes I'm a bit too excited to put my hand up because I'm going to share with you my experience of the Glen Forest FAIT when I said I would help with the craft and then I would go in the dunking machine because I'm thinking, you know what? I've climbed Sydney Harbour Bridge, the dunking machine, that will be fine. So I'm doing crafts and it's like, oh, it's my time on the dunking machine. So I'm standing at the dunking machine and I'm going, the water's up to here. I'm standing outside. So I'm thinking, I'm short. Without my shoes as well. And I'm going, that's really deep. That looks really deep. So I get up and I get to sit on the seat and then I'm just fear-stricken. I'm like, don't do anything yet. And there's these boys with the balls ready to go and the man with the fire hose thing and I'm going, not yet. Not yet. Just let me have a breath. So... because I couldn't get off. Like, I could not. It's like, Bali's, I'm not doing that. So I was like going, okay, not yet. And then I waited. And a ball missed, thank goodness. And another one. But then I went, got hit. I screamed. I must have swallowed a whole lot of water. When I came up, I was choking ridiculously. I had to turn to the side so that no one could see, like I was half drowning and half, and I had to sort of do it gracefully, choking, like, blah. and then I had to get back up, and I'm just like, okay, rightio, I'm up, just wait. And down I went again. Now, for me, I would never have done that years ago. And then some lovely, lovely child just ran up and pushed the button. And there are pictures somewhere. I'm terrified in them. Tomorrow's another thing I've sort of volunteered for, but I'll probably need you to pray for me because I'm going on the Year 6-7 camp, the day camp for Glen Forest. I'm going to Bickley, and apparently we're going orienteering. And I said to the teacher, surely there's got to be someone with me. Like, I can't read a compass. I'm no good in the bush. And I get lost in shopping centres. So he goes, you'll be right. You'll have the children with you. I'm going, did I volunteer for this day? So anyway, and then they were telling me about other stuff in the bush. And I'm not really, I must say, I'm a bit scared of going. And I'm a girly girl. But anyway, I'm going in faith. I'm going in faith tomorrow. So, and I just love that I get to chat with the students and see their potential and bring that out. And, you know, going into the playground, and yesterday, on Friday, I had a skip-off with skipping ropes because it was on. I'm very sore today, but don't tell them. Don't tell them, Naomi. So we did skip off. So we do lots of fun things like that, and I teach Zumba there as well. And my friend this year, love her, she's such a lovely woman of God, challenged me to say yes to opportunities. So I have been saying yes. And I accepted the challenge, and I don't think it's going to finish at the end of this year. So my day, I really rely on God. I rely on God to what He wants me to say to the students, what He wants me to, you know, just to look at them and just to know that they're so special and they're so loved and valued and just so worthy, and there is potential in them. And just to be there for them, even just to chat. And, you know, when you're building up that, you would know that, building up that rapport and getting to know them, and you share with them stuff about your life, and even at the Darlington Fair, just meeting with them and meeting my niece, and then I have a school niece. That's all right, her mum knows. she's just taken to me. So, which has been really, really... it's just what I never thought. I just feel so blessed. And I really wanted to thank you all just for your support of the chaplains in this area. You know, we have the days where it's just fantastic, and then you'll have a day where things are just, oh my gosh, how amazing are these children, and what they have to go through to get to school, or what they have to, you know, or what they have to put up with, or, you know, it's, and finding their identity and where they fit in their character, and, you know, just helping them along. So we've been able to do, with your support, I've been able to buy some cards that can express how children are feeling without having the words, the bear cards, you know, yeah, I love them. And we've had morning teas. We've been able to have lots of activities. So we've got a scrapbooking club at 1. We've bought some more CDs for Zumba because they just love Zumba. and I think at one school, the kindies and primary think I'm just the Zumba teacher. Like... disguised as a chaplain. Anyway, because on open night it was their parents were saying, oh, so you're the Zumba teacher. And I'm like, yeah, and I'm the chaplain. But that's okay. And so, yeah, we've been able to provide quite a lot for the children, and especially children in need and parents as well. So we're there for the whole community, the whole school. And you know what? I just love it. I just embrace it and I just love the day. And sometimes I go home exhausted, but it's a good exhausted. It's not, oh my gosh, I never want to go back. It is, I love it. And I'm, yeah, so please think of me tomorrow when I'm in the bush doing my orienteering, which would be really bad. It's all right. So I just wanted to share Romans 12 with you, and it's in the Message because I just love this version. And it says, and this is what I want to do, and I'm speaking to myself as well, and I'm letting myself know this. So place your life before God is the title. So here's what I want you to do. God helping you, take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work, and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for Him. Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. You will be changed from the inside out. Readily recognize what He wants from you and quickly respond to it. Unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity, God brings the best out of you and develops well-formed maturity in you. So, yeah, so that's just a bit of my journey, and I don't think He's finished. Like, I loved how someone said, God, there is no retirement in God's kingdom. Amen! I love it! So thank you so much. You've just been such a blessing, and your help does not go unnoticed. And it's just been really lovely to share. And I realise that some of the stuff I may have talked to may have impacted or may have stirred something up. And if that has, I really encourage you to get some prayer or talk to someone, you know, after it, because I'm very mindful of the subject. But, yeah, thank you.